Morning, welcome to this January 12th.
Not quite yet. We're waiting for SFGov TV to start the...
Looked like we were live.
Oh, they were? Let me, one moment. Yes, we're ready now.
Good. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our January 12, 2026 Rules Committee meeting. I am your chair, Supervisor Shimon Walton, joined by Vice Chair Supervisor Stephen Sherrill. And today we are joined by Supervisor Danny Souter. Today's clerk is Victor Young, and we have Jamie Echeverry from SFGov TV making sure today's meeting is publicized and available to the public. Mr. Clerk, do you have any announcements?
Yes. Public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Rules Committee Clerk, at victor.young@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will be included as part of the file. You may also send written comment via U.S. Mail to our office in City Hall, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Gillett Place, Room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Documents to be included as part of the file should be submitted. Items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors agenda of, of January 27th, unless otherwise stated.
Thank you so much. Mr. Clerk, would you please call item number one?
Mr. Chair, would you like to take a motion to excuse Member Mandelman?
Motion to excuse President Mandelman from today's meeting. And again, we are joined by Supervisor Danny Souter.
Yes, on the motion to excuse Member Mandelman. Vice Chair Sherrill?
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Sauter?
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Chair Walton?
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, now please call item one.
Item number one is motion confirming the mayoral reappointment of Carmen Chu as city administrator for the five-year term beginning on the effective date of this motion pursuant to Charter Section 3.104.
Thank you, and I believe City Administrator Chu is here, and we would love to hear from you about this item.
Thank you very much, Chair Walton. First off, I want to thank you for your time. I think as I've expressed to all of you privately, but also in public, often public service in my mind is a privilege. A privilege to be able to do this work. And I want to take a moment first to thank the mayor for his nomination and confidence for this next 5 years, but also to the Board of Supervisors who have supported me in the past and for your time and consideration in this cycle. Supervisor Walton, you asked me to come prepared to speak a little bit about some of the work that we've done, and I think that that's appropriate given the huge amount of work that is underneath the city administrator. So many different divisions and directors who have put their public service and time into improving the city. It makes me really proud of their work. Before I do that, though, I do want to just say a real big thanks to my team who is here with me today. I have to name them because truly, without their work, I think, as all of you know, without your aides, without their work, we wouldn't be as successful as we are. So I want to just mention to Rachel Sukerman, Katie Petruccioni, Jennifer Johnston, Sophie Hayward, Stephanie Tang, Douglas Legg, who has retired now, Kay Fan, all of my division directors at the City Administrator's Office. I just want to take a moment to thank all of you and for your body of work. None of this success happens without you, and I truly mean that I am blessed to be able to work with such dedicated and wonderful and smart people in this endeavor. And thinking about the space that we've been over the last 5 years, we've navigated quite a lot. It doesn't feel that way because every day we're kind of thinking about just the last fire that we put out. But if you think about kind of where we've been, we've had to navigate together a global COVID-19 pandemic and all of the aftermath associated with it. We've had some pretty significant changes in our local administration, both members of the Board of Supervisors as well as a new mayor in Room 200. And I think more than anything, we all are also feeling acutely some of the significant changes in the federal landscape that we see now. And so quite a lot of changes that have happened over the last 5 years. just to name a few of the accomplishments that we've worked through. You know, I think, as I mentioned, sometimes a city administrator's role is not just the 25 divisions that sit within our office, but it's also about helping the city navigate through citywide things that impact folks across different departments. Early in my term, we played a pretty critical role in helping the city navigate the COVID-19 process, whether it was issuing directions for how to return safely to office, to managing the purchasing that we had to do in this city, especially when we had personal protective equipment that was hard to acquire, to figuring out how to provide direction for commission hearings or even outdoor functions. We played a pretty critical role in helping the city get through that space. Immediately coming out of COVID-19, we focused very much on trying to get our city's operation back in line. I think all of our focus was on how it was that we were going to help protect San Franciscans, help keep our folks safe. But at the same time, many things were not happening, right? We weren't doing the normal course of hiring. We weren't doing the normal course of purchasing. And so we stood up a government ops recovery team that was really focused on trying to make sure that we were doing a better job at contracting, making it easier for businesses to do business with San Francisco, but also for us to be able to do it. With your help, we did a number of things. We repealed the 12X ban state. We standardized thresholds. We put in emergency provisions to deal with things like tariffs. We are currently pursuing a procurement system across the city. And of course, we're doing a lot of work with forecasting business for all of the businesses that do business with San Francisco. Beyond that, I look back and almost had forgotten all the work that we did to work with DPW in Prop B implementation and the changes and the implementation of a commission structure in that space. That was quite a huge body of work. We often forget about, again, the things that happened over the last 5 years. Recology, we haven't heard about the recology process, but just to say that our office has been pretty critical working with the controller's office to establish a new rate process and have been running pretty, I think, transparent and open rate processes over the last few cycles that have really not been on anyone's radar because they are working well. We restarted the Community Challenge Grant Program despite some pretty significant challenges over the last few years and really have recently issued an amazing cycle where many districts participated. In the local economy, we've renegotiated the extension of a tourism improvement district that provides non-general fund resources for marketing and incentives. We've restructured financing at Treasure Island to keep momentum on the development there on the island. At Grants for the Arts, we've stabilized funding for many of our grantees and really implemented a two-year cycle that helps everyone out. At the county clerk, you may not have heard, but we opened a new customer check-in section, bringing in DPH vital records to sit side by side with us so that now if you are a resident in San Francisco and you need to get a birth certificate, you don't have to go to one place if your kid is under three and you don't have to go somewhere else if you're over three. These are all the things that happen behind the scenes that we continue to make improvements on that nobody knows about, but that makes government work better for everyone every day. At the medical examiner, we went through some pretty significant challenges. I know that you know this in our recent history, but over the last 5 years, we've regained NAME accreditation. We also have two of the highest levels of lab standards, and we're issuing death certificates and forensics labs in a timely way. That might not sound like much, but that's a pretty significant issue, especially when you have families who are grieving who want closure on what's happened with their loved ones. In our local businesses, we've done a lot to support and shore up our communities, our community contracting monitoring division. We've got a lot of folks that we've worked on to reinstitute on-site visits. We've figured out ways to make sure that our subcontractors know when they've actually won on a bid. We've rolled out new LBE rules at MOHCD, which has been a significant thing, opening up opportunities for many local businesses. And in one of the things that probably is most hidden, in terms of our domestic partnership certification program, people used to have to wait over 2 years to get certified, and now we're doing that under 1 week. In real estate, in that space, I think as many of you know, we have worked to negotiate some pretty significant deals for the city, moving to 1455, getting $40 a square foot leases at 1455, $30 square foot leases that help save funding for the city and enables us to do other things with scarce resources. For other folks who may not know, that steam loop across San Francisco, City Hall, we've actually disposed of that steam loop. You haven't seen steam emitting over the last year, if you might have just noticed that you haven't seen that. Kern County oil wells. People might not have thought about that. We disposed of that liability in Kern County. And I think, as many of you know, we've played a pretty critical role in helping to advance our fire training facility out in D10. These are just a small sample of the things that we have done, and I'm not giving it full justice to the body of work that all of our staff have done to move the needle forward for so many San Franciscans and for city operations, but I just wanted to mention a few of these quick topics because I think it's important to know that even though we might not come to you with a lot of problems or issues, we're often working behind the scenes to make sure things are working on a day-to-day basis. In the future, I feel very bright about the things that we're going to be working on together. I think, as many of you know, we've been working very diligently with many members of the public, getting a lot of feedback on what to do with our commissions. This is going to be a big body of work that will come to you this coming year. We're working very closely with the Comptroller's Office to support them and others in thinking through charter reforms that might help to make government work more smoothly. We're going to be working with the mayor's office to effectuate transitions in our operations. And I think several key areas we're looking to focus on technology. We're going to be doing a lot of work to make sure that we are moving our city operations to the website as a front door, but not only that, to be making sure that we're using unified data platforms to be able to share data and know better information from a policy perspective. On contracting, we have a huge body of work to continue to do. At Fleet, we have many more work to do to be able to actually optimize how it is that we distribute our scarce resources. In real estate, we're going to be taking a look at 1455 as future expansion opportunities. And I think as a whole, as a city, we're going to have to grapple with how we're going to continue to fund our significant capital challenges as a city. And I look forward to working on those issues. So perhaps with that, I do best when you ask me questions. And so please ask any questions that you might have. But again, I think this small list is just a subset of the things that the team has been working on behalf of San Franciscans, and I want to thank all of you for your consideration and thank my team.
Thank you so much. I don't see anyone with any questions on the roster at this time, so we will go to public comment on this item. Thank you.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak alongside of the room by the windows. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. There'll be a soft chime when you have 30 seconds left and a louder chime when your time has expired.
Good morning.
You can start.
Thank you. Good morning, committee members. My name is George Wooding. I'm a neighborhood advocate, and I work with several neighborhoods throughout San Francisco. This is in support of the Rules Committee's reappointment of Carmen Chu as the San Francisco City Administrator. I find her to be kind, organized, and extremely intelligent. She always has time to relate to San Francisco residents. Carmen is one of the most likable people at City Hall. Informed city employees and residents trust her judgment. No one else at City Hall is capable of overseeing 25 agencies with her skill and attention to detail. I have known her for at least 15 years. I always try to attend her CPC meetings. She is fair, efficient, and always has San Francisco's best interests at heart. Carmen Chu is the best person for the city administrator job. Thank you for your consideration.
Hello, my name is Glenn Rogers. I'm a landscape architect. I'm speaking on behalf of myself, and I too am in support of Carmen Chu's reappointment as city administrator. Recently, Carmen Chu has gained the 2025 Women's Excellent Award. Therefore, she would make an excellent candidate for city administrator. During her tenure, her office has generated over $3 billion in annual revenue. As a housing advocate, she is pushing for affordable housing as others seek just more housing. As a city administrator, she will oversee 25 departments and over 1,000 employees. I am of the opinion she is the best person for the job. I compliment Mayor Lurie's good judgment in picking her as our next candidate for city administrator. Thank you.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is Juliana Choi Summer. I am a small business owner. I have been running a small business in San Francisco for 30 years. In San Francisco dog business years, that means I have been running a business in San Francisco for 300 years. When I learned last week that Carmen was going to be up for reappointment through the Rules Committee, I said, I'm going to come out here to City Hall and go on record, because this item just makes sense. A good administrator, as we know, worth their weight in gold. A very good administrator has years of experience with the complexities of a city like San Francisco, but an excellent administrator has the adaptability and intelligence to flex with the constant changing needs of a constantly changing world-class city like San Francisco. So we hang on to excellent city administrators. So I ask that the Rules Committee please forward recommendation to the full board to reappoint Carmen Chu as city administrator.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is Trisha Gregory. I am also a small business owner in the city of San Francisco, and I sit on the LBE Advisory Committee. But before I was on the advisory committee, when Carmen first got elected as city administrator, and 14B was the new legislation was passed, and we were having struggles still, there was a group of us out of D10 who wrote Carmen a letter, and within 24 hours, she was sitting outside City Hall, listening to our frustrations, really sitting with us, understanding what we were going through, which at that time, there were not a lot of people who would take the moment to sit with us. And after that, we started to see changes. She would send one of her deputy city administrators into the LBEAC meetings. Then Stephanie Tang got appointed to deputy city administrator. And under her administration, the biggest thing for us LBEs is that Mayor's Office of Housing went from SBE to LBEs. And I know there's a few new supervisors here that don't understand how huge that is to us. But it means that local contracting dollars will stay with city contractors, which is a fight that we've been fighting, and under City Administrator Carmen Chu, that happened. And so, yes, I hope you guys support her in her reappointment. Thank you.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is Michael Pappas, and I'm the executive director of the San Francisco Interfaith Council. An organization which for the past 37 years has been bringing people of different faiths together to build understanding and serve our community and to celebrate religious diversity. I've been in this role for 18 years, and I've known Carmen this entire time. I've known her during her tenure on the Board of Supervisors as city assessor recorder and now as city administrator. There's been a consistency in each of those roles in terms of her graciousness and grace in reaching out and being there for the community. Most recently, she and I had worked together on the Economic Recovery Task Force during COVID, but now on the Working Group for Charter Reform. Carmen is serious, she's focused, she's low-key, and she does for the good of the city, because that's what's in her heart. It's a rare occasion under this dome where nobody's ever said a bad word about her. And you know that, and I know that. So I trust you'll do the right thing. Thank you.
Good morning, supervisors. Miguel Galarza, the chair of the LB Advisory Committee. Throw some acronyms out there. 14B, Chapter 6, LBE, Micro Small Business, 14B. All these are acronyms that are part of the portfolio of the city administrator. I'm only here to talk about small business. All I care about is small business. And for me and for our community, Carmen Chu has been a great advocate for the small business community. When you talk over 1,000 businesses that are LBE certified in the city of San Francisco, you're talking thousands of employees. As we look into building housing in each one of these districts, it's going to mean hundreds of jobs, thousands of jobs, and millions of dollars of, spent in our communities. Those of you that are new to the committee supervisors, I implore you to speak to former President Walton, current President Meldeman, and find out the importance of the LB Advisory Committee. We meet on the third floor every other month. Take the time to set up a schedule with Stephanie Tang and learn what our community does and what our committee does and how we advocate for the city and how we are supported by Carmen Chu and her staff to make San Francisco great. And making San Francisco great means reappointing Carmen Chu to her position. Thank you so much.
Good morning, supervisors. I'm Matthew Shorvok, the general director of San Francisco Opera and also the co-chair of the San Francisco Arts Alliance, a consortium of about 30 of the city's art and culture institutions. It's a great privilege to speak this morning in support of Mayor Lura's nomination to reappoint Carmen Chu for another term as city administrator. I've had the chance to work with City Administrator Chu on numerous occasions during her first term, and at every point have been deeply inspired by her wisdom, her compassion, and her ability to move issues forward with respect for all parties. Hers is a leadership of integrity, always focused on finding the right solution for this city and those who live, work, and visit here. City Administrator Chu has been a tremendous advocate for arts and culture. Overseeing grants for the arts, she has championed a grant-making process defined by clear and rigorous evaluation criteria, by a streamlined process that allows arts companies to focus on art making, and by a constant upholding of fairness, equity, and vision. San Francisco is one of the great cultural capitals of the world, and City Administrator Chu has been a tremendous advocate for and partner in that work. Her hire of Kristen Jacobson recently further strengthened the trust and connection between the city and its cultural organizations. Despite the many entities under her jurisdiction, City Administrator Chu is always available, always eager to help, to advise, and to find solutions. I'm certain that the partnership, leadership, and counsel she brings to the arts is evident in all areas of her responsibility. She has an extraordinary knowledge of the workings of city government, and she uses that knowledge with grace, respect, and tremendous wisdom to ensure the smooth running of the city. I wholeheartedly support Mayor Lura's nomination of Carmen Chu to the second term and very much appreciate your consideration of this reappointment. Thank you.
Good morning, Supervisors. Rodney Fong, President and CEO of the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, and here to support the reappointment of Carmen Chu. Carmen and I had had the challenge of working together on the mayor's economic recovery task force, which was no easy task. She led that like all the other things she just led and went down that list. Carmen possesses the skill and character, which I think is so important here. From the business perspective, San Francisco is doing very well. We are looking great, but there's still a long way to go. Office vacancy is still 35-40% vacant, and so there's more work to do. Carmen is a steady hand at the wheel that we need for the next 5 years for San Francisco. So in support, and thank you.
Good morning, President Walton and supervisors. My name is Annie Chung, and I represent Self-Help for the Elderly today. I also am very honored. I'm really honored to be asked by Carmen to come and say a few words on her behalf. And that phone call started with, "Oh, you're not appointed for 10 years? I'm so ignorant." Sorry, Carmen. I just thought that you would be there for 10 years. And then my next remark was, "What, isn't that a given that you'll be reappointed?" And Carmen, in her real common self said, no, I can't take anything for granted. So that's common. So I'm really privileged to have worked with Carmen since she's District 4 supervisor and as a resident in the Sunset. We not only work together on elderly affairs and all the needs that we face in the community, but as a resident and her constituent, I found that, you know, as our supervisor, she's always there, she's always listening, she's patient, she listens to both sides, and then if you have a problem, she will work hard to solve it. And then she went on to her career as our assessor, and when we have problems there, you know, she will have her staff talk to us and take us through some tax exam complexions. Also, as our city administrator, I'm really thankful that I sat there, listened to all the things that Carmen did and her department did and her team did. We just know that she had a big job overseeing 25, 26 departments, but we didn't know that the job is that big. So we're really thankful for everything that Carmen did. She's a solid. And in closing, if I think about our favorite native son, Mayor Ed Lee, I would say that Carmen Chu is our very favorite native daughter. So please reappoint Carmen for another 5 years, and we are very, very excited that we'll work together again in the future. Thank you, Carmen, and thank you, supervisors.
Good morning, Chair Walton, Supervisor Sauter, and Supervisor Shell. My name is Donald Liu, President of the Chinese Chamber of Commerce. I knew Carmen when I started my volunteer work at the Chinese Chamber of Commerce. Saw her as a supervisor, and then as assessor, and now our CAO. And I find her to be the most, one of the most competent person in city governments. Her experience in working with the communities built trust among communities, small business owner, and also folks who are a daily citizen. Her record, from what I heard, is impeccable, and I'm proud, and I respectfully support Carmen's reappointment as CAO for the next 5 years, and I urge this committee to advance her nomination to the full board for approval. Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public who wish to make public comment? There are no additional speakers.
Thank you, seeing other speakers. Public comment is now closed. Supervisor Sherrill.
Thank you, Chair Walton. Carmen Chu's record speaks for itself. All of you here know that. One thing I want to especially note, City Administrator Chu, thank you for calling out the names of your staff. Hiring is incredibly difficult, and putting together a great team is a great sign of a great leader, and I just want to compliment you for that, encourage you to keep hiring great people, and thank all the members of your office who are here today. It's been such a pleasure to be able to work and learn from all of you. So thank you all for your service. Carmen, thank you for your service and your willingness to re-up. You do not have an easy job. We thank you very much for being here and for serving all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Sherrill. Supervisor Sauter.
Thank you, Chair Walton, and I will echo those remarks. I will be happy to support this nomination. It has been a pleasure to begin working with you, City Administrator Chu. I have great respect for your work and your team. And I appreciate all of the different accolades and remarks from the community members, a wide range of neighborhoods and groups and interests represented. I think it speaks highly of the work that you've done over your career and the work that you'll continue to do. And I also appreciate you sharing some highlights of these past 5 years, some of those that have gotten more attention and then others that have not gotten much attention at all. And in many of those cases, that means that things are working well and that you're doing your job to keep things running efficiently behind the scenes. So thank you for your continued work.
Thank you, Supervisor Sauter. And I would just add that I want to appreciate you coming in and highlighting your work over the last 5 years. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand all of the departments and all of the work that falls under the city administrator's office. And so I appreciate you for highlighting that. As you discussed through pandemics, I think you might have left out DPW and sanitation changes and then unchanges. committees to explore committees, obviously the LBE work, language access, the excitement around ambassadors and communities, and of course the work with Recology and Community Challenge Grant. So appreciate you for your work, and I want to thank Mayor Lori for his recommendation, and I'd like to move this forward to the full board with recommendation as a committee report.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Sauter.
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Congratulations. Mr. Clerk, would you please call item number two?
Item number two is a hearing consider appointing one member, term ending January 6, 2030, to the Small Business Commission.
Thank you so much. And we have Dimitri Cornett. Please tell us who you are, why you want to serve.
Hi, good morning, supervisors. First and foremost, thank you for your time here today. A little bit about me. My name is Dimitri Cornett. I've been a small business owner in San Francisco for my salon's been in the Mission for about 11 years, but prior to that, I had a beauty supply and salon downtown on Market Street. In addition to that, I work in education for L'Oreal Professionnel, so we get to create educational content for ongoing education for hairdressers, but also do a lot of research and development for business building, particularly for my sector, which is salons. But doing so, I also learned that how this data and how we do this market research helps to also reshape retail, restaurants, and this is data that we can actually take into these fields. I've been on the Small Business Commissions now for about 2 years, and I'm looking forward to another four-year reappointment. I really want to thank my commissioners and Carrie for taking me under their wing and really helping me to understand how everything operates. It's been quite a learning curve, but also this board also helps me to amplify my voice and utilize what I know and what I can bring to the board. Another thing that I want to say, that this is not just a privilege to serve as a public servant, but it's a selfless privilege. And I want to continue to do that and continue to just continue hitting the pavements and talking to merchants to see what's working, what's not working, making sure they're aware of the programs that the city have to offer, but also whatever data we collect to come back and talk to the commissions to see how can we get through this, but also to help reimagine what does retail look like, what does restaurants look like, what does customer service look like, and how can we also continue to have small, medium, and big businesses continue to build off of each other symbiotically and to grow better together. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Sherrill.
Well, first of all, thank you for putting your name back in the hat for this. It is incredibly, incredibly important work. So I just have a quick question. You know, for me, the small business community is incredibly important. I think we've probably overburdened them over the last several years a little bit much. And it sounds like you've been through a lot of those things. I'm curious from your point of view, if you could kind of wave a magic wand, are there a couple headaches, hardships that kind of especially stick out in your mind that you would love the city to push on, whether it's permitting, whether it's fee structures, whether it's street conditions? Are there a few things that stick out in your mind? You're like, you know, this is really hard for me and my peers.
I think when it comes to the permits and permitting, we've done a good job so far with reducing red tape, as well as continuing with the first year free program. And I think that's such an important and great program. One, because that's the city reinvesting the businesses by waiving these fees, but also it gives us intel on what's opening, what's not opening, what sectors are working, what sectors are kind of declining in our city, so that we can kind of like focus on, okay, how do we get these sectors back in here, or how can we reapproach them to see what's working for them and what's not working for them. I think this is more of an employment one. Because of the ABC laws, and you know, when Uber passed their law a couple of years ago, that affected a lot of independent contractors. That definitely affected a lot of salons and service industry, because if you look at other states and countries, cities, they operate on commissions. So, example, you know, stylist comes in, you know, let's say they have a full booking, whether it's a nail technician, massage, wax, whatever it may be. Let's say you decide with a business owner that we're going 50-50, so you kind of move for money. But now with this act in place, which is the first part of it would be the person, so it's for independent contractors, the person has to control their own booking, fine. The person has to provide their own tools, amazing, fine. The person, you cannot control their schedules, that's understandable. But then when the final piece comes in, the individual cannot perform any services that the establishment is licensed to do. So I can rent 1099 to a baker, a cobbler, a mongler, but I can't rent to a stylist, I can't rent to a barber, I can't rent to an esthetician or a nail technician. So that's something I kind of want to dive in a little bit more, because I realize that a lot of salons, especially smaller service salons, are not in compliance, which kind of sets you up for lawsuits as well as penalties from the city and state.
Thank you. That is really helpful to hear. I appreciate it. That has less to do about my judgment of you as a candidate and more about my interest in supporting you and your peers. But just thank you for that insight, and I really look forward to the opportunity to continue to work together. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you, Vice Chair Sherrill. Seeing no other questions or statements from colleagues, we'll go to public comment on this item. Thank you.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment on this matter? There are no speakers on this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And I'll just say I want to thank Commissioner Cornett for being willing to continue to serve. I think the expertise around the service industry is definitely something that we need on the Small Business Commission, so that we can, of course, capture all the concerns of our small businesses and be able to do what we need to make sure small business thrives. So with that said, I would like to send this item 2 to the full board with recommendation.
With a recommendation for appointment to seat 2?
Seat 2, correct.
Yes, thank you. On that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Member Sauter.
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Congratulations. Mr. Clerk, would you please call item number 3?
Yes, item number 3 is a resolution approving the Human Services Agency's annual surveillance report for call recording technology.
Thank you. And I believe we have Susie Smith from the department here this morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Not quite as an interesting item, perhaps, as the first two, but important nonetheless. Susie Smith. I am Deputy Director for Policy Planning and Public Affairs at San Francisco Human Services Agency. This item is a resolution to accept San Francisco Human Services Agency's first annual surveillance report for its call recording technology, as required under Admin Code Chapter 19B. HSA received board approval for its call recording service surveillance policy back in June 2024. Under the ordinance, departments that use approved surveillance technologies must submit an annual report to the board and the Committee on Information Technology, or COIT, along with a resolution for board acceptance. So this item fulfills that requirement. Our report outlines how we use call recording technology over the past year, including the safeguards, compliance measures, and our outcomes. At HSA, we use this recording, this technology to record incoming and outgoing calls through our call centers for public benefit programs, our child welfare hotline, and provider assistance for our in-home supportive services program. It's primarily used to allow clients to provide telephonic signatures so that they don't have to come into our offices to receive services. This is particularly essential for clients with mobility impairments, families with young kids, and others who might not feel safe in public spaces at this particular moment. The technology also supports our quality assurance and staff training, with significant changes anticipated in the public benefit programs as a result of HR1 and state policy changes. Quality assurance is going to be more important than ever, and these tools will help us to be able to implement new policies as implemented as clearly, consistently, and as humanely as possible. Really important for training as well as we onboard new staff. During the reporting period FY24-25, the system handled approximately 428,000 calls with no reported complaints or violations of policy. As required by the admin code, this report has been reviewed and approved by COIT. So the resolution before you simply accepts that recommendation so that we can comply with the admin code and confirms that it has been reviewed and approved accordingly. So we respectfully request your support and happy to answer any questions you might have about this particular technology or the report.
Thank you so much. I do just have one question. Has this hampered the ability to provide in-person services?
No, to the department? And some programs do require people to come in person. It's just an added ease for programs where we're allowed by state and federal law to do telephonic signatures. It enables us to use that technology appropriately.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions or statements, so we will go to public comment on this item.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this matter? There are no speakers.
Thank you so much. I would like to move to send this item forward to the full board with the recommendation and approval.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Member Sauter. Sauter, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, do we have any more business before us this morning?
That completes the agenda for today.
Thank you so much. We are adjourned.